Now, Niall Hatch has just joined us in the studio. Have you ever seen a basking shark, Niall Hatch?
I have. I've seen them on a couple of occasions, actually, Derek, and it's always a very memorable encounter. They are impressive animals. Probably the best view I ever had was actually near Skellig Michael, just beside the boat that was going out there. And I just saw this dorsal fin breaking the waves, kind of jaws like, oh, it's a basking shark. But nothing to worry about with them at all. They're gentle giants of the sea. It's a real treat.
You know, there's something ridiculous on TV at the moment where they've taken all these celebrities out and they put them in a shark cage. You know, I don't think that's a good idea.
You've done it though, haven't you?
I've done it, but I've done it, yeah, but I'm not a celebrity. But I mean, I think they're over-egging the danger, you know, and I think when you do that kind of thing, it's probably not a good idea. I don't know.
There's so much fear about sharks out there. And I mean, you know, I obviously wouldn't want to be in the water right beside a great white shark, but I'm very glad there are such things as great white sharks. And they have a very important role to play in the marine ecosystem. I just hope it makes people understand a bit more about them and how important they are rather than just being sensationalist or hoping Rachel Riley gets eaten by a shark or something. I don't know.
But at any rate, Niall, you were at the bird fair recently. Tell us all about it. Where was it and why is it important?
Yes, it's a thing that I go to every year. It's the Global Bird Fair and it's in a place called Rutland, the smallest county in England. And it's they describe it over there as being the birder's Glastonbury, but maybe in an Irish context, the birder's Bloom would be a better example. It's lots of marquees and tents and performance stages and people talking about birds. There's people there with tour companies, conservation organisations, including many of Birdwatch Ireland's fellow BirdLife International partners, the Bird Observatory Council, including the representatives from Cape Clear. My colleague John Horton was there giving a talk about bird observatories. There are booksellers there. There are authors signing books, all of these things. It's a really wonderful place to be. Photography workshops, there's optics demonstrations, all of these. So it's
and lots of tents and caravans.
Lots of tents and lots and lots of wasps this year as well.
Lots of wasps,
full of wasps. But it was really, really good. There's a podcasting stage, everything. Really fun place to be.
You met plenty of people, and I know you spoke to Dr. Sean McCormick, who reintroduced the beavers to Paradise Fields in London. We'll be hearing that next week. But you've got two other people you want me to hear this week.
Yes. So the first is a gentleman called Ryan Chenery, who is from Barbados. And he works for a company, runs a company indeed, called Birding the Islands. And he spoke to me about birding in the Caribbean, in the West Indies, being the islands in question, the special birds that are there, and the importance of the bird fair to him and his business.
Hello. Yes, Ryan Chenery from Barbados. And this is my company's Birding the Islands Limited. So we specialize in anything in the Caribbean, right? We're sort of the Caribbean specialists, primarily looking for endemics throughout the Lesser Antillean region and the Greater Antillean region. So we offer different kind of tours. There's a 10-island trip through the Lesser Antilles, which focuses on going between some stunningly beautiful islands such as Montserrat, Dominica, St. Vincent. And we go to 10 islands there, looking for the endemic birds found unique to each of those islands. And then the Greater Antilles, we're up in Jamaica, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico, again, looking for endemic species there.
The thing about the West Indies is that they are a real hotbed for biodiversity, particularly for avian biodiversity, because so many species have become stranded, let's say, on islands and have evolved into new forms. How important is the West Indies as a group for endemics?
Well, it is extremely important. I mean, like I say, islands in general, right, there's high endemism on islands, right? But some of those islands, down in the Lesser Antilles, very small, right? So tiny populations, but they've been there over, you know, millennia, and they're evolving all the time. Up to last year, this is recent, I mean last year, we had 6 new species added to our Lesser Antillean list, right? So 6 new endemics. And so ever increasing research in the area is proving, you know, they're looking at genetics, looking at DNA, and they're saying species that were, or birds that they're originally considered subspecies, they're now being promoted to full endemics, right? So there's 4 wrens in the Lesser Antilles, which have now all been promoted. We've got Grenada wren, St. Vincent wren, St. Lucia wren, and Kalinago wren on Dominica, right? The thrashers in St. Lucia have been split as well, right? So St. Lucia thrasher now, instead of white-breasted thrasher, it's now St. Lucia thrasher, and Martinique thrasher on Martinique as well. And the year before that, we had Lesser Antillean euphonium split as well. Lots more splits are coming as well, right? And not just in the Caribbean, other parts of the world as well, where we're now sort of branching off into as well, in the Western Pacific as well, so Micronesia and Solomons as well, yeah.
And of course, some of those birds are incredibly rare. They're real conservation priority species. How important is it for tourists to come to see them and thereby show the local people there is money in these birds? People are paying to see them and bringing money into the local economy.
This is massively important. You look at some of these species, such as imperial parrot in Dominica, potentially less than 200 of them left in the wild. In Grenada, the Grenada dove, even lower than that, maybe less than 100 birds left. These are critically endangered species, and if, you know, in order to raise the profile of some of those birds, it is crucial for the governments to understand, oh, there is, you know, a financial reward for preserving these species and keeping them, because there's a massive population of bird watchers out there in the world, and they're actually paying money to come to your island specifically to see these birds. Oftentimes we go to, you know, I'll find it interesting because we'll go to an island, say, pick St. Lucia or so, right, or Barbados, and every general tourist will be given a pamphlet saying, where are you here, right? And there's nothing ever on it about birding, right? You know, it's the sun, the sea, something like that, beaches. And yes, that's a lot of people who go there want to see that. But there's a whole other contingent of people that are very interested in nature and want to see the birds and specifically these endemic species before they're gone, right? So it needs more governments to really focus on that, and the local communities benefit hugely. There's certain areas that we go in the Lesser Antilles, which we are the main contributors of money, if you like, to those small communities which have small accommodations and lodges where we stay. Without us, they would not exist, right? So those people know the importance of foreigners, birders coming and supporting them, supporting their businesses. We eat there, we sleep there, and we go and see the birds, right? Crucial to them.
And finally, I must say you have a very attractive stand here every year at the Global Bird Fair. It's very eye-catching. How important is the Global Bird Fair as an institution for your business?
Again, very extremely important. I mean, it's a great place to network. You meet thousands and thousands of people. We've been here 3 years now, and every year it seems to be more and more people coming and drawn to the stand, the Birding the Island stand, which we try to keep colourful and tropical, right? Mm-hmm. And vibrant colours. And I think hugely important as a place for not just for potential clients or, you know, interested bird watchers learning about the islands, maybe going on trips, but also networking with a lot of other companies that are here. I'm not even sure how many companies are here, but it's a lot, right? And then other providers, like, you know, they've got clothing operated places and arts depots and all kind of things. This is for kids, you know, to go and enjoy. It's a wonderful experience, yeah.
Well, Ryan, best of luck with the rest of the bird fair, and thank you so much for your time. It's lovely to see you again.
Thank you. And you. Thanks for that.
This is going to sound a little bit strange, but he sounds like Michael O'Leary.
Well, you can really hear the Irish influence in the Barbados accent, can't you?
Did Ryanair fly there direct? Is that who you went with when you were there? Anyway, who's next?
Well, up next, we have a wonderful gentleman called Chandika Jayaratne, who mm-hmm. is from a company called Jetwing Eco Holidays, based in Sri Lanka. Now, I had the great pleasure of meeting Chandika when I was over in Sri Lanka last year, and he gave a wonderful presentation at the Bird Fair about the importance of ecotourism to places where they're struggling to keep their wildlife, like Sri Lanka, how it can be a real force for good. Because rightly often, ecotourism is criticised if it's causing carbon emissions, mm-hmm. it's causing disturbance of wildlife. But he's very much of the view that if it's done right, it can actually be a real impetus for saving wildlife and can actually be one of the biggest forces for conservation.
I'm Chandika Jayaratne from Sri Lanka.
Now, you've just given a wonderful talk, Chandika, all about tourism, which is obviously very important, but it wasn't the usual kind of talk that we hear here at the Bird Fair. It was about how tourism, when it's done right, is actually a real force for conservation and ensuring the protection of threatened species. Can you elaborate a bit more, please?
In Sri Lanka, it's that a bit different. Tourism is what I believe is actually guarding our wildlife and helping it and keeping the protected areas protected. So as I mentioned at the talk, we've got 20% of our landmass as protected areas, which also includes marine areas with coral reefs and beaches in the ocean. So tourism is actually helping all these. You've got tourists, you know, coming to all these areas, that is giving rise to jobs. It's revenue for the government, plus the wildlife department who manages these protected areas, and also the forest department. And then you've got, you know, local people becoming guides in the area, like Singharaja. You've got all these little local kids who were very small when Singharaja was unknown. They were following the researchers, and now they're bird guides, and some of them are really, really good. It's happening in Manna now, where all the migrant birds come in. So when initially Manna they did come in. The migrant birds did come in. They came in flocks and flocks. But the locals had no idea about it. They just thought, okay, it's this bird coming. And, you know, they were not bothered about protecting the wetlands or, you know, maybe, you know, putting up hides or learning about this. But now we've got people coming up from the area who live there. They are putting hides in their lands. They are learning about the birds. They're helping researchers. They are going out and, you know, protecting them from the others. So, you know, it's come, and that's all because of tourism. Not only wildlife conservation, but sustainability. Most of the hotels, at least 40% of their energy comes from solar. They use biomass boilers for hot water, plus air conditioning. They've got zero plastics, and it's done properly.
So what was very interesting to me from your talk and what you're saying now as well is how that conservation, you know, is being driven by these animals, these birds and mammals and so on, having an actual value. The local communities can see these are bringing money in. But during your talk, you also mentioned something that was very interesting to me, that the presence of tourists helps to drive down poaching, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, so not only international tourists, but also local tourists help that a lot. So when the parks were closed during COVID, then there was no one visiting them. It was a very, like, it was like open season for most of the poachers. They had access to come in and they came in. Whereas when there's tourists, there's always vehicles going around. There's wildlife officials going around. So it deters them. Plus, it's also an incentive for them to either join the wildlife department as a volunteer guide or get their own safari vehicle and drive. So as I said, my colleague Mukesh and myself, we've trained poachers to become guides that we use for, you know, nocturnal tours and things like that. Some of them have stopped their poaching and they've bought their own safari vehicles and they're driving the safari vehicles in the park and they're earning out of that. And also the bungalows. So the local tourists, they visit, they stay in the bungalows inside and there's presence inside even in the night. So then that also deters poaching. Not that it's 100% deterring it, but it is a huge deterrent.
It's really good to hear that, and I'm sure that Mooney Goes Wild listeners will be very interested in this.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Al. Thank you so much.
Well, where would you get it? Such a variety of voices and such interesting people, Niall Hatch.
That's the beauty of the Global Bird Fair. You meet people from all over the world, all there for a common purpose. And what I really love about it is you can just sit down next to anyone if you're having your coffee or your lunch or whatever, and you can just start a conversation with them because you have a shared interest. You can talk about birds to anybody there. I absolutely love it.
Love it, Niall. Anyway, why wouldn't you love it? It's your thing, right? Whatever you're into, as they say, enjoy yourself.